Yes. Yes. Let us seek the Lord. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We come before you thanking and rejoicing for thy wondrous promises and blessings and healings, O Lord. We come before you at this very time, this very moment, the head of Sue. Dear Lord, she's our sister and your child. Father, she comes before thee seeking a blessing of thy hand. Father, that you would search her up from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, and you will pronounce that blessing and that healing upon her, O Lord. You know the areas of her back that may be causing problems, or wherever the need may be. There may be things that she's not aware of herself, O Lord. But you know what she seeks, and that you will bless her both physically and spiritually. Lift her up and bless her, O Lord. And as within thy word, we know that also faith is for having sinned to be forgiven. And so, Father, that we still have the energy to sing your praises more abundantly. For, Lord, we know that you always give us more than what we ask for. And so, Lord, we leave her in faith, in your care, your keeping, for your will to be done, you know, in all things. But, Father, in the body of Christ, we lift her up unto thee in love. In Jesus' precious and holy name, we seal this prayer of faith. Are there any others that would need administration at this time? And that's always an order.
Aaron?
Yes.
Can I have Doug Paul put on the page?
Doug Paul?
Yes, from Jesse's very good friend. He met a girl who was quite wealthy, and they went to Times Square to see the ball game. And he drank too much, and he is on life support, and they're pulling him on. But today, the alcohol.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so we found out this morning that he said to the hospital that it's Ronnie and Lori, who are neighbors. Jesse's best friend grew up with him. It's his, brother.
Okay.
So, I told him I put him on the prayer list. I don't, more for the family.
Well, you know, the Lord's
been done.
The Lord's will be done in all things.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. The Lord's comforting direction and healing upon the family. They need some comfort. That's got to be a shocker. And it's a horrible thing, you know. No matter what the choice there, that they love them. They just made the wrong choice at the wrong time, didn't they?
Hung out at the train station there for a while there and just some bizarre places that we just kind of probably weren't as good of friends. We could have possibly, got a little bit more, but you don't want to get in other people's business.
Well, we'll pray for them nonetheless. You know, the horrible thing to happen, but the Lord knows right where He is at and where His family is in need. And it's a horrible thing to happen, no matter what, no matter whether, you know, the victim of choice, and obviously like that. But regardless, I'm sure many love them, and so God loves them, no matter what. God loves them. I had a subject that was upon my heart and mind this morning, and wanted to ask and interest in your prayers as I was thinking of some thoughts and some scriptures that had come to me upon looking for God's direction. And we know that is a prevailing thought in many people's lives, and it has been a prevailing theme throughout time to many of God's people and would-be people of God looking for direction. People are looking for direction.
no matter what. You know, of course, whether they believe in the Lord or not, aren't they? They're looking to know where they're going, what they're about, what they should they do in life, what their goals are. And people are looking for direction. And it depends upon, you know, the once again, the choices that we make and the direction that we take. And we look at, you know, when do we need a direction and when we depend upon the things that we already know. Where are our decisions based? And, you know, at what age do we seek God's direction? Of course, we know at any age we need to seek God's direction. When a person's between the age of, let's say, 15 and 21, they say is the time when some of the most formative and important and cataclysmic decisions are made in people's lives. And if you think about it, you know, when people go to school, they decide maybe where they're going to go to college, or if they're even going to go to college at all, or if they're even going to finish high school. And that is going to take and going to change the course of events of someone's life in itself, wouldn't it? Or if a person goes to college, where they're going to go to college, and things like that. Where I was talking to my niece over the weekend, and she is going to a college on the East Coast right now, and considering going to a grad school that's on the West Coast. And that'd be a whole other world, I'm sure, out there. A lot of byproducts from the decisions that we make. And we were talking about the atmosphere that's out in California compared to that in Boston. And she'd been a strong girl, and I'm sure that the Lord will bless her no matter where she's at. She's been trying to be faithful, and she's got a sweet attitude. But our choices affect what we're going to do and the direction that we're going to head. And so a lot depends upon the foundation in our life. We know this maybe a very simple subject, but it's a very powerful one too. You know, many Christians believe that the Lord is there. Many people have accepted Christ as their Savior, but how many really consecrate their life to find out His direction for them in their life? We're put upon a path. We're put upon a path. And church is not a ritual. It may be a set time that we come to worship together, but it is not ritual. And we learn about life and should shape the course of events in our life. Many people right now are thinking because of a new year about goals, about things that they would like to do or things that they would like to change. Maybe a lot of them could be that a lot of people after the holiday and the holiday eating, they want to go on a diet. I know I should. I got more to do. That seems to be common. And people make many other so-called promises or resolutions and so on and so forth that have to do with other very important things, and many things get slid to the side. Things that they should do. And how many of us as believers in Christ may do the same thing even with our spiritual welfare and our spiritual warfare? Two different sets of words. Our welfare and our warfare. And where we are in our spiritual life and our direction and our course. And do we do the best that we can in order to stay the course and then examine yet our spiritual lives? Do we examine ourselves? The Scripture tells us to examine ourselves. And I would like to read some Scriptures this morning, and I have some thoughts that I'd like to express, And there are some people's lives in some of all of these scriptures that their lives have been changed. And I would like to go first of all into Proverbs in the 3rd chapter and the 6th verse. And we've been here in this piece and part of the scriptures before. And we take a look at the book of Proverbs. It's most all of it giving direction, giving plan, and giving promise, giving result, giving charge. Yeah, young man that was being instructed. But you know something? That the scriptures, even though they may be directed towards specific individuals at that time, I believe the Lord has perpetually had them laid down to plate or to leather or to papyrus or whatever it be, so that you and I can read them today. And most of our literature today are all upon the experiences that people have went through. Many of it's history. Now, fiction, we know what fiction is. You know, not true, made up, so on and so forth. But also we find for literature documented history about how life has transpired and how events have taken place. And we find Proverbs is direction, you know, given to people's lives. To one man in particular. And I believe this was Solomon's son, Rehoboam. But I believe there is much of it being talked to about to other people at the time too. But we find in chapter 3, book of Proverbs, and I'd like to read verses, 5-7. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own conceits, or in thine own eyes, I'm sorry. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Okay, let's just go a couple more. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And I believe that, you know, that only talks about just our physical substances, but what about the energies of our bodies and our minds and so on, as we give praises unto the Lord? Because he's increased your life in blessing and in health and so on. And what do we do in order to honor the Lord in those things? What have we given back to him? You know, he's given everything that we enjoy. He's given us life. He's given us whatever prosperity we have. And can we not give him back a portion? But in all thy ways, acknowledging him. Once again, we find that even in many lives of Christians, we even acknowledge to believers, do we trust in the Lord with all our heart? Do we go to him for direction? Or do we lean to our own understanding? Now, we know that knowledge is good, you know. If we use it in the Lord, if we use it to the good, we know that there's knowledge out there that can be really destructive. It can be destructive in people's lives, and we need to look to what the truth is, what the truth is about, and the truth is in Jesus Christ. And as we read the scriptures, and I know I quoted this before. But Jesus says that search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. The expression of God's own will and intent and purpose, plan and power for all of us in life, that we may receive direction. But the word has a power. Yes, the word has a power to each of us. Now, I'd like to take and to turn over into Isaiah in the 29th chapter. Isaiah Isaiah 29, and I'd like to read verse 15. And as a matter of fact, in 29 and 15, in this portion here, which verses 10 through 14 is talking about some of the events of the restoration and the coming forth of the Book of Mormon, actually. And it actually looks, it describes and about the events of the coming forth of the Book of Mormon and talk about a marvelous work. And I wonder, and that's quoted that very same way in the Book of Mormon. But verse 15 is given a very important piece of information. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us, and who knoweth us? And, you know, we know on a grander scale what this may have to do with, having to do with restoration. But what we find is, do people tend to do that? Do many people tend to have those secret thoughts, the secret ambitions, things that no one knows but they themselves? And not that we don't have our own, you know, our own thoughts, and we don't have our own private feelings and things like that, you know. But when we seek to hide them from the Lord, you know, real knowing of His reality, His presence. The Scripture says that the Lord is closer than the shadow of our turning. And if He's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts of the children of men, if He can know a sparrow that hits the ground without His notice, if He knows the number of hairs upon your head, it says, yes, and He knows all of our private thoughts and all of our the corners of our life. There's nothing that we can hide from the Lord. And the more that we consider that, we plan our life about that. And so He can know if you're genuine and if you're for real. And that influences the direction, because, you know, first of all, you know, we should be looking for God's direction in our life. He gives us the commandment, just like He says in Proverbs, to acknowledge Him in all your ways. You know, we like to handle a lot of things ourselves. I know I do. You know, and I'm guilty of that, and I need to learn along with everybody else about giving things over to the Lord and asking Him for counsel in many ways. There's probably many more times that I should that I don't, because I'm human just like everybody else. And like I told you about the trade that I've worked in, I'm used to grabbing a wrench and fixing something. I'm used to making it work and so on. And sometimes maybe I tend to use that same mentality in other areas of my life. And I need to learn. I need to learn. You know, and I need to give it to the Lord and to have Him work it out. Have Him give me the knowledge or give me the strength to work it out. Now, it's not that we're not to be able to try to handle things, you know, to have the energies to do things or just sit back and say, Lord, you know, you deal with it. There's areas, and I think we're supposed to know those areas. And in one in particular, I know Sister Joyce said, we were talking about whether we should take the snow shovel, lay it on the porch, go in and sit down and say, Lord, you know the snow shovel's out there, you know the snow's out there, shovel that walk for me. Or the other choice would be, Lord, why don't you give me the strength to go out there, put my shoulder behind it and shovel it. And I think there's some of the differences. And We are. He tells us to seek His face. We're seeking the Lord while He may be found. You say that's a weird way of putting it. Well, in a profound way, it's that we need to be having the intellect and the spirit and the energies to seek the Lord. You know, before we change our mind, before we change our direction, maybe our life could take such a turn that our heart is hardened, and we don't. Seek the Lord while He may be found, or while He may be found of you. And it's just like the picture that many of us see of Christ in the garden. And He's going to open the door, but there's no handle on the door. Very profound picture. Someone's conception. And no reason there's no handle on the door, because the door needs to be opened from the inside. And that has to do with your choice, and for you to let Him in. And do you let Him in all corners of your life? I would like to take a turn to the book of James in the 4th chapter. James in the 4th chapter and the 3rd chapter and the 3rd verse. And we want to look at some interesting thoughts upon God's direction. Okay? Now, Jesus has told us, He says, ye have not because ye ask not. You know, there are many things. Do we rather also not, you know, approach the Lord when we really should? Are a lot of things, once again, that we don't have in our life. Maybe there's blessings that we don't have, and gifts and so on that we don't have, because we don't ask. Because we don't ask. But we have also where He tells us in, let's see here now. Let's just go on from the beginning of the chapter. Whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? And they know there's an opposite spirit that would like to tear you away from Christ. But ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, ye have not, because ye ask not. I know Jesus has said the same thing. Ye ask and receive it not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Many people look for the Lord's direction, but they want the Lord to answer in the direction that they would like, or think that the way that He should answer them. Lord, I want you to answer me, but I want you to answer me this way. This is the way I think it should be. This is what I want. But asking for the Lord's will puts your life and spirit in His hands, okay? Your devotion, His hands, that He can work it out, because you know the Lord knows the best direction for you. And so it also speaks to, like I said, those young people that are in those formative years making those cataclysmic decisions. When do they really need Him right then? They really need to know the Lord right then. The most. Involve Him in those very important times. But we can have not because we ask not. And sometimes we need to pull ourselves back a little bit and think about really what are we asking for. And we've said this many times, that you know that after, because of the course of event that your situation took, you could say, I'm glad the Lord didn't give me what I asked for. It really wouldn't have turned out very well. But Lord, would you work it out the way that it should be? you know the wisest way. Over in the book of Matthew in the 7th chapter. Matthew 7, I have to read verses 7 and 8. Words of the Master. Ask, it shall be given you. Seek, you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. But he goes on to qualify those very statements. He goes on talking about the people that are doing the asking. He goes on to talk about the type of person that receives. Jesus has talked about, if we take a look into the Beatitudes, about those that are blessed. The people that he responds to. We have the meek of the earth. We have the poor in spirit. He tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God for these things to be added to us. He talks about, going on in this chapter, about a good or bad tree. Good and bad fruit. A tree should be known by its fruit. By their fruits you shall know them. And so he goes on to show that how the results shall come. Ask the Lord, you know, and if we're not intent on making a sacrifice, I'm going to go on to that in a little bit. If we're not intending to be devout in asking and faithfully looking for the blessing, but also willing to sacrifice of ourselves. Once again, like he talks about in 2 Timothy, the Lord has this seal. He knows them that are his. And I would like to take a look back over into the book of Isaiah. Back in the book of Isaiah, in the 58th chapter. Isaiah in the 58th chapter. Now, along with looking for direction, we know that we must be asking for it. We know we must be asking for it by consecration, by devotion, and so prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. And so we're wanting to learn about that fasting. And we're also wanting to learn about what is acceptable before the Lord. And I would like to start reading in verse 1 of chapter 58. And the Lord has given us a little instruction on fasting as well. And first of all, fasting, for one thing, we talk about maybe the absence of food or water. But you know something, that there's much more to it, too. A matter of attitude, a matter of separation, a matter of maybe abstaining from the things that would cause us to break the fast. Even a matter of worldly influence, abstaining from things, and maybe separating yourself, what you need to do. Seek the Lord devoutly. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, they say, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Now remember what Jesus was telling us? He said that there are many that would disfigure their faces and stand in the corner and appear to people to fast and so on and so forth. And he tells us in verse 3 here, you find in the day of your fast, you go and you find pleasure. And you go ahead and you exact all your labors. You know, you're out there doing your thing. You're all being distracted. You may be going without food and saying that you're fasting, but your heart's not in it. You know? And it's just like we know that maybe with our children, there are times that when we were raising them and we asked them to do things and because we kind of had to give a nudge and so on, we kind of saw that their heart really wasn't in it. Their heart really wasn't in it. And we don't really, you know, need to go into that. You know, but the Lord knows His children. He knows us, and He knows if our heart is in it. Or do we make our voice to be heard on high? And is it such a fast, verse 5, that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush? And to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day of the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that ye may break every yoke? Is not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bringest the poor that thou art cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, and thou cover him, and thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Or acknowledge, you know, where we are fasting and we come clean before the Lord. You know, have you ever had that conversation in your closet where you're telling the Lord all of your misgivings? Where you will fall short, all, you know, here, there in your life, where you tend to do this and you tend to do that. You say, Lord, you know, I know that I'm wrong. That's a very cleansing thing. Lord, I can be foolish in this way or that way. Lord, you know that I waste time in this area or that. Or I don't give you what's yours. And just plain pour out your soul to the Lord. So you don't hide yourself from your own flesh. We are really good at deceiving ourselves and talking ourselves into a lot of things, aren't we? Oh, yeah. And things that we want, that we may consume it upon our lusts, as James said. We're pretty good at that. You know, without having maybe a spirit of temptation and evil present, we're pretty good at it ourselves. And Paul, like he's telling us in Romans, that, you know, we may, the things that we don't allow, the things we do, you know, sometimes it can be a battle. That's why Ephesians 6 talks about arming for warfare, spiritual warfare. Sometimes you don't know where the enemy's coming from, but if you're prepared in the Word, in the Spirit, and in God's way and God's will, that's how we prepare to meet. You don't prepare when the enemy's right there on the front. Oh no, there must be preparation. And there must be, as a Christian's life needs to be spiritually prepared. And the Lord talks about, you know, why is it that Jesus would have said that the meek shall inherit the earth? Why would he have said that? Remember what the Apostle Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. And a wise man once said that I would rather stand before the canons of the wicked than the prayers of the righteous. Than the prayers of the righteous. And as a matter of fact, let's see, where do I have that? Let's take a look over in the book of Revelations for a moment here. Let's take a look in the book of Revelations in chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. Revelations 8, 3 and 4. Do you know how powerful the effectual, your effectual fervent prayers are? Do you know how precious they are to the Lord God of all creation? Verse 3 said, "And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand." That's how important your communication with God is. What did all those prayers contain? So many wondrous and precious things that we know, and we can find out. We can find out the things that are acceptable to the Lord. We can find out about the consecrations of His people, their love for Him, their devotion, their devoutly fasting in love, in patience, and looking for His answer. Yeah, we need to be looking for the answer when we ask for something that we just don't. We're asking for the Lord's will. We want Him to answer in His own wise way. We need to also be looking devoutly for the answer. Not just forgetting it, not just leaving it there. Devoutly looking for the way the Lord even may answer and will answer. Now back in Revelation 5:8. We have another reference to the same. "And when he had taken the book, and the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, and having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints." Once again, what were in those prayers? It is something, you know, that is very inspiring to me, very powerful to me, to understand that they are that important. When I talk to God and I give Him my honest devotion, that they're appreciated, they're heard, God listens and He knows. God listens, God knows. Now He may know the thoughts and intents of our hearts, He already knows our needs. But we know that our prayers are holy. And I believe that just as when the people were seeking the direction of the Lord, in many cases they did sacrifice in the old law and in the old way. There was animal sacrifice and so on and so forth. And there was devotion, there was prayer, there was consecration. Their adherence to the righteousness of the Lord and the law, the book of the law of the Lord read and so on. And that smoke, the Lord said he smelled a sweet savor. And I don't believe that it was the smell of roasting beef or lamb or bullock, but it was the smoke of obedience and love and consecration and devotion to His holiness and His majesty, in His will, in His direction, and His protection upon them, and that the people would be preserved. Today, what are we about? We may not give that sort of sacrifice before the Lord. He says, I'll accept none of your sacrifices, except four. And I'd like you to read with me over in the Book of Mormon. And I would like to go to page 628. We have an experience where our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, after His death and resurrection, had appeared to these people. They were waiting for him. After a time that was never before upon the face of the earth, when the shape of the whole earth was changed. And he is announcing himself to these people. And he tells us, and actually, I'd like to go back to verse 48. And he says that I am the light and the life of the world. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And you shall offer unto me no more the shedding of blood. Yea, your sacrifices and your burnt offerings shall be done away. For I will accept none of your sacrifices and your burnt offerings, and you shall offer for a sacrifice unto me a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And so we find what is acceptable before him. And so it is in faith. And if it is in faith, and if we have that faith, and we have that devotion, that we are willing to keep His commandments, then we shall go on and make that covenant with Him too. He talks about in verse 50, "Whoso cometh unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, him will I baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost." And he says, "Even as Lamanites, because of faith in me at the time of their conversion, were baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost, and they knew it not." We talked about that, but we understand of baptism by water, by immersion, that this is the significance of becoming a new creature, and witnessing unto the Father, that we're receiving the witness of the Son, baptized just as He was. And what kind of direction will that be for your life if you enter in and you keep His commandments? If we are looking for His direction, we're willing to keep His word. We're willing to keep His commandments. We're willing to sacrifice of our life. We're willing to sacrifice. We're willing to do what it takes to live how He would have us to live. How can He bless us? We can put ourselves outside of His blessing by the decisions that we make and the life that we live. We can have ourselves in a condition that, like putting ourselves in a bubble of sin, and how's the Lord going to take and save us there? We're not willing to sacrifice. We're not willing to come to Him and be with Him in obedience. We know that there are times when many people had asked of the Lord very temporal things. And we know that, like the children of Israel, or different groups of people, they approached the Lord and they would ask Him, "Should we go to battle or shouldn't we go to battle? What should we do as a people here? How should we be led as a people?" And you know something? Because of the condition of the people, they might receive a yes or a no answer. There are times when the Lord has told them, said, "Now listen, the people's heart is not right before me. They're involved in this and that, maybe idol worship, and they maybe put up their groves, or they do not take and keep my commandments and my statutes." And he said, "No, you know, you had better sanctify a fast. And you had better, the hearts of the people must come clean before me. Because you will not prevail and I will not be with you if you don't." And we know that there are other times when the Lord said, "Yes, you shall prevail. You will go and you will go in and you will do this and you will do that." And there's times when we're given direction and we don't follow the direction. We've got to be careful that, you know, if we're given something of the Lord and we recognize it, that we follow it. Because we know that when Saul was given direction concerning a certain people, that he was to go in and to subdue that people. And the Lord told him, you go in and you cleanse that land. And he didn't do it. He brought back the spoils of the land. And he wasn't to do that. He was supposed to destroy it all. This was his direction. And the prophet of the Lord come to him and said, you've done evil in the sight of the Lord. Therefore, the kingdom is taken from you. And he said, well, what are you talking about? I haven't done anything. I did what you asked me to do. And he said, no, you did not. He said, you brought back spoils from the land. He said, wow, no, I didn't. And he says, well, what is the bleeding of sheep in my ear? He had brought back some of the animals. And he wasn't to even do that. He hadn't followed the directions the Lord had given him. And people are a lot like that. And we got to, you know, be careful. We need to listen to what it is that the Lord, you know, has told us to do. And His Word and His laws we have in the Master Manuals, if you will, the Word of God. And many people refuse to adhere to those things. You know, I don't like this part, or I don't like that part. This part don't quite fit. I'd rather change this part. I don't think this part is for us today. And many people like to take a pair of scissors to the Scriptures. And I realize, you know, with myself, that there are parts that I didn't seem to agree with. All right? I would take the matter to the Lord. And boy, I'll tell you what, every time didn't miss. It was my problem. It was where I needed to take a look into it a little bit further. I needed to do a little bit more looking into it. I needed to pray over it. I needed to consecrate myself to an answer. The Lord's Word's been true every time. Every time. We find that there would be, once again, there would be people that were told, no, they shouldn't, because of the righteousness of the people. We take a look in the Book of Mormon itself, when the man, the prophet Mormon, had taken over military leadership of a people. Now, he being a righteous man himself, but the people weren't. Okay? And we won't go there, but if you'd like to study that, it's on page 694. The righteousness of the people, they thought, because they had won one battle, that it was of their own energy. And they still wouldn't change their ways, but they were cursing God. So no, they weren't going to prevail. The Lord said, you know, the people's heart is wax gross. But yet we find other examples, let's say, such as King Benjamin. And once again, you can read that right around page 206 in your Book of Mormon. And he was a righteous man. And he taught the people. And he led them spiritually, that they would receive direction. And he was a holy man. And they had, and there were prophets that would also help direct the people. And the people would listen to them. And we find, as you would look in Amos 3:7, surely the Lord will do nothing, but he shall reveal it unto his servants, the prophets. And you find that, is that available to us today? Is prophecy available to us today? Is the Word of God and His direction available to us today? Absolutely. Jesus Christ says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the Book of Malachi says, I change not. Absolutely. When did the Lord stop speaking to people? Probably when they stopped listening, in many instances. When they stop listening. You know, we think about, once again, we would ask for our answer to be given. And I was thinking of an example in 2 Kings in the 20th chapter, verse 1 through 11, is talking about King Hezekiah. And King Hezekiah he was told, he says, you know, you get your house in order because you're going to die. And he wept sore before the Lord, and he said, haven't I served you? Haven't I done what I should do? And so on. And the Lord, he told him, you'll be given 15 more years. He did receive what he had asked for, And yet, there's another man that received direction. He received what he should do in Jonah. And it was to tell people to repent. And the people did repent. But you know something? He didn't like the result. He thought the people should be destroyed, as the Lord said they would be if they didn't repent. He didn't like the answer. You know? We've got to be careful that with our brothers and sisters. You know, there may be people that we think, does a person deserve to be where they're at? Do they deserve a punishment? Do they this and that? Are we honestly praying for them that they may be delivered? To be saved out of the error of their ways? You know? And I would like to, hope to treat people how I would have the Lord treat me. That's what I would like to. Or the same mercy that the Lord would treat me. And are we prepared for the Lord's answer? Are we prepared? Because you're asking and you're tapping into a power that we don't have a comprehension of just how vast and how powerful that is. Are we prepared for the answer? You know, the Lord could call upon you for extreme sacrifice because of the question that you asked. Are you prepared for that answer? You take a look in the Scriptures, look at all the catastrophic things that have taken place because of the prayers of people. Famine's going on for numbers of years just for a sign. Remember what happened to Elijah? Same thing, that's what happened. And we have where there were 16 stones that were touched to shine in darkness that the people would be able to see in vessels that they could cross the great deep in. And so we know we may be forgetting to look for the result. Well, let's take a turn over to the book of James. The book of James in the first chapter. I'd like to start at the beginning, and I'm just going to read on to the 8th verse. James, first chapter. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad. Greeting, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. We were talking this morning about different gifts that you could be asking for. You may ask for patience. Maybe what you're generally asking for is for a trial in order to test it. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be entire, perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and shall be given him. Once again, he's asking, he's giving you a statement, but he's also, I believe, he asks questions right along with that. You know, if you want to know something, ask him. And we should be asking him for these things. We should be. Proverbs even charged us that way too. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know, how are we asking in faith? How are we consecrating ourselves unto the answer? You see, do we expect that the Lord is going to answer? Do we expect that that we are going to get that what we've either asked for, or do we expect that He is going to deal with the issue that you've given Him? Scripture says there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Absolutely. That same faith tells us that He's going to save us. And I hope you have that assurance. If you don't, we've got something to work on. if you don't have that assurance, if you have that assurance that he's going to save you, yes, he can deal with our help us deal with our problems throughout our life and give us that strength and knowledge and wisdom, blessing, gift, measure of faith that we're needing. Absolutely. We can't be double-minded in our ways. We can't saddle up the fence and go to town. Doesn't work that way. Over in the fifth chapter of the book of James, same book, fifth chapter. Confess, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Here we're finding a very powerful piece of mystery here, aren't we? Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That righteous man realizes God's touch and His Spirit and is willing to adhere to God's ways. Now, a rebellious person, on the other hand, either doesn't believe or is because that spirit is anti-God. Doesn't believe God's going to answer. Out of spite, his heart is not in it, once again. Heart is not in it. But the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And as I was mentioning earlier, verse 17, it says, Elias, or Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained down on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sin. Now, I would like to turn, while we're in this area, let's go back to 2 Timothy in the second chapter. And I would like to 2 Timothy 2nd chapter, and I'd like to read verse 22. He says, "Stops to flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness." Those of our of a younger age, we know that that could be a hard thing to do. There seems to be so much today that is also available. The entertainment industry is billions of dollars and swallows up many adults too. Flee also youthful lusts. Follow righteousness and faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That's what I wanted to bring forth there. Out of a pure heart. Those things that are not shadowed by self-serving ambitions or, you know, the sins that we're not willing to give up. We're not willing to take the advice that we're given. We come forth to the Lord with a clean heart, clean hands, a pure heart and clean hands. And so, you know, and we look within our congregation, and I'm thinking of these things too, that within our congregation, there are the blessings of the body. They're the blessings of the congregation. Now look at the example of the children of Israel when, you know, the Lord would either bless them and say, no, either you should go to war and you should do this and you should do that, or you should not, depending upon the barometer of righteousness with the people. Okay? And I believe it's the same way with the congregation. We've got to be looking to ourselves, to our homes, of our lives, and an example, you know, that We need to examine that there is not sin within the body, that it can inhibit the blessings of the people as well within the body of Christ. As a matter of fact, over in the book of 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, 1 Corinthians, 11th chapter, in the 11th chapter, is talking about that where Paul was talking to the people here and was giving a pretty good ripping, if you will, because of the things that they were involved in and trying to set straight the. She needed to go. She had to go pick someone up. She had to go a little bit earlier than what was necessary. Where they needed to set in order the sanctity of the sacrament, and he because of all things they were involved in, the feasting, they weren't, and many other things, they weren't holding it in the reverence that it should be. And we find in verse 26, actually, let's go back just a touch. Verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, that same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink this bread, or eat this bread, drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. And so wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread, drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread, drink of that cup, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not deserting the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. So he talks us, each of us, to examine ourselves. And if we find that sin or sin in our lives or sin in our homes that we were willing to repent of it, to give it up or to correct those things, that's why he talks about there's many weak and sickly among you, and many sleep spiritually, and the blessings of the body are impeded. So he asks us to judge ourselves, to look to ourselves, you know, because we know our own lives and one another. We can't, you know, guess what someone else may be into or so on and so forth, but it's something where God knows. And so there are so many things that we could look to, and I know I may want to touch over, but looking for the direction of the Lord, very powerful, very important, and it strikes at every corner of our Christian lives.